All right, thanks for joining me today on the Beagler's Journal. Fortunate enough to sit down today with Chad Douglas. We just got done running some dogs, so we're sitting out here and going to sit down and kind of talk about Chad Douglas, who he is, what he looks for in a dog, some of his successes, and just let him share his experiences with us. Chad, thanks for joining me.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yep. So if you don't mind, tell us kind of how you got your start in the Beagles. Well, when you really got hooked and got into this dog stuff.
I had a buddy in my English class, and he's talking about him and his dad. They're going out hunting with these dogs, killing these rabbits and stuff. And I'm like, man, can I go with you one time or something? And it took a while. And finally, he said, my dad said you could come over hunting with us. And I went over hunting with him and his dad. And ever since then, it was just about it. Most of you would probably know the guy, Marvin Bowman. He's been in Beagles forever. That was my buddy's dad. So I lucked into having one of the best Beaglers around as the guy who taught me what was a dog and, you know, just how to take care of a dog, tons of things.
Yeah, so you had somebody with a lot of experience that kind of mentor you right off the bat and got you started on the right track.
Yeah, I mean, he was trialing and, had litters of puppies booked, you know. I mean, he was really into it, you know.
Yeah.
Very into it.
So you want to kind of walk us through some of those dogs that were around when you got started?
Yeah, I mean, it started probably like in 1992 is when I met him. The first dogs that he really had that were good were Charlie, Misty, and Bandit. And they were pretty much a run-to-catch style dog. Maybe a little different than the dogs nowadays, but they were definitely rabbit dogs, and they did fairly well in the trials. Misty and Charlie were both champions. I don't think Bandit was, but I actually took Bandit to the first UKC hunt ever. We just showed up, signed up, and they took the final four dogs out. And I had like 1,100 plus and 1,200 plus went, and I took 200 minus. So I had a dog, one of the first dogs I handled that should have maybe been in the final four of the UKC world.
Yeah.
So, you know, he started taking me to these trials, and then eventually, you know, just like anything, I get a dog, and of course it ain't nothing like he has. He just knocking my brains out. I don't even think of taking my dog to the trial because his are going to beat me regardless. So,
yeah,
you know, it pretty much started with them. And then one day he says, hey, I'm going to sell Misty and Charlie to a guy in Washington State. And I'm like, Washington State, you know, that's clear across the country. And so we ended up taking them two dogs to the airport, dropping them off. I'll never forget it. Like, it was the craziest thing ever. And then he bought another dog, which was, his name was Sparky. And that he was an AKC field champion, which was the first one in our area to be around there. And I went with him to get it. And this little scruffy dog come out of the box. And all I could think was, is what in the heck have you just done? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I looked at that dog. I thought, man, something ain't right here. But he turned the owner of the dog turned that dog, old Sparky, loose, and that dog just stayed tied to a rabbit. He was quite the dog. I mean, he was that New City Cruiser breeding, which really wasn't super hard hitting dogs according to the breeding, but he was. And then he produced a pup named Buck, and Buck was absolutely the real deal.
Yeah,
he was the real deal. He was one of the first. he was like the first really, really good dog I ever seen. Really, really good dog. You know, Sparky was a little older, so you didn't really get to see him. But Buck was really something else. So, you know, and then from after Buck, he had Ryder. And about this time, then some other guys in our area have some AKC field champions. There was a guy named Woody Gerhardt that had a dog named Microman Super Dog, and he was just right down the road. And then Randy Hicks had a dog named Intimidator, which he was right down the road. So in a 10-mile area, there's three dogs that just rip your head off, you know. And
so you had a pretty good introduction to some real good dogs right off the start then.
If you didn't have something good, you were going to get beaten. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
You know, it really took me I had a really nice dog named Charger that was out of Sparky. Heck of a hunting dog, probably not the best trial dog. I only basically just soloed him, so the trial thing he just really wasn't into, mm-hmm. you know. And then I ended up getting some little females. Well, the thing with little dogs is it's hard to run little dogs with big dogs. So I kept the little females for a while, and then I was like, well, I got to get some big dogs. So then I went to get some big dogs, and I got a dog named Viper, which was a dog right out of Trapper, and he was double Northway bred on the bottom, so he had no Branco in him at all. Mm-hmm. And then the Cyrus McGee dog just had finished triple champion, and the same guy that had the Viper pup had this female there. And I told him, I said, hey, if you ever want to sell that female, I'd like to have a chance of buying her. She was like 9 or 10 months old.
Yeah.
Well, come around 2 months later, he calls me. He says, hey, you want to buy this female? And I said, sure. He said, take her home, try her out. Well, I just bought a dog off, a female off a Trapper. I give $500 for her. So I get this dog, her name was Allie, take her home, turn loose against that dog, and she just destroyed that dog I just gave $500 for. I mean, absolutely kicked that dog's butt. And I'm like,
what was it about her that stuck out from that day that makes you say that she kicked her butt?
She just grabbed the track and was gone. And
just
then
owned it.
Yeah, she just picked up all her checks, and I mean, she was just something, and ran the front the whole time. I mean, just hard going dog, you know. And I'm like, wow, like, what, how did you miss that? You know, how didn't you? And I realized that later, he had a 4 and a 5 year old dog sitting at home. You're gonna miss her, because if she couldn't really get the front, she wouldn't give you a ton of mouth and stuff like that. She just wasn't gonna bark from behind and this, that, and another. But you give her the rabbit up front, whoo, she was, I mean, to this day, her and Betty, best two females I ever owned. I mean, she's a little pack champ, UKC champ, and had a win in Midwest. And if I had the money I did not have nowadays, she'd have been triple champion too.
Yep.
You know, it was just simple money thing. Back in the day, I never went to any trials that weren't around Mansfield and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to have a club in Mansfield. We drew over 100 dogs in the open class in Mansfield.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we used to throw some hunts together.
Yeah, and what time frame was that? The way you're describing it to me, I'm guessing maybe
that's probably
the mid-90s?
That's probably 2000, 2005.
Okay.
That's about then when I got that.
When did you start, let's say, when you first got introduced to beagles and all that?
92.
Okay, yeah, because some of the stuff you were describing kind of reminded me of, like, the mid-90s, because I started around 2000, so you started probably about eight years before I did. But yeah, the numbers were big back then. You know? I've talked about that with some of the other guests I've had, you know, 100 dogs at a local little pack club hunt, you know, the Coshocton UKC, and I don't mean to repeat myself, but, you know, Coshocton UKC club, 40, 50, I think there was 60-some dogs at club hunts. You know, and those are bigger numbers than what we're used to these days.
For sure. I mean, there was just a big five hunt and only 77 open dogs. I mean, which is still a big number.
Mm-hmm.
But
it made you feel like if you want something, you want something back then, you know, not the, you know, and it'd be nice to see the sport get back to that at some point.
Yeah, I don't think the numbers are ever going to get anything like that. I think with the other organizations and so many clubs so close, people, I think even me, I think everybody's, if there's a hunt closer, well, we'll just go to this, or you know, and people ain't afraid to try different organizations now compared to back then. I mean, if you ran like AKC, you ran AKC. If you ran ARHA, you ran ARHA. If you ran UKC, you ran UKC, you know.
Yeah.
But I've always been one. I ran them all because I always ran them around the house because I couldn't travel.
I think that's kind of how, you know, I started out too, is when you're young, you kind of hit what's local, because you don't have the money to go travel and get hotel rooms and everything.
Exactly.
Unless you got somebody kind of toting you around. But yeah, I've kind of stuck with that, trying to hit them all. You know, I've talked about that before. But so that's kind of how you got started. Let's kind of talk about maybe some of the dogs that you're running now and how you got into those dogs. You know, like I know Rush has been a huge asset for you. He was.
Well, Rush started because, like everybody, you'll get out of Beagles for a little while and get back in it. Family, life, wife, whatever it is, mm-hmm. everybody usually gets in and out. Well,
everybody's got a little bit.
Everybody
of that
has a little bit of that baggage, yeah. you know. Yeah. So that was part. I got out for a little bit, but I always loved my alley dog. And Rick always told me that if you really want to get a good one of mine, get a male dog. And I'm like, but this female is so good. And he's like, I'm telling you, if you really want to, he was definitely right
about it.
You
mean Rick Yamada, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
And that was definitely something that he was right about. Old Ricky G was definitely right about that because he sent me Rush and, you know, the rest is.
So you got him directly from Rick then?
Yeah.
As a pup. See, I didn't know any of that. So that's interesting. Yep.
Yeah, he brought him up to a UKC trial. I think it was the McVet, or it was a bigger hunt, and he brought him up here, and I got him. He was like 4 months old.
Was he started or anything when you got him, or?
If he just barely, I don't even, maybe sight chase or something like that, but he was just, but started.
If he was, he was very green.
Yeah, very, very green. Yep.
Okay, so, you know, I'm interested in Rush. You know, I've gone out and watched Rush, and several casts told you, you know, I want to breed to him. I even offered to pay to get him collected for you one time. I've always been a big fan of Rush. So let's just kind of walk through the process of you getting him started, and some things you saw. Was there things you didn't like about him when he was starting off, or did you just kind of see, you know, talent right off the rip?
I'm pretty quick to make a judge on a dog, and really off the rip, I knew I was getting hunt, and I knew I had foot, and I knew I had a dog that was going to compete. I mean, very competitive dog, almost to a fault, I would say, sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just got him. He was pretty much my only dog right then, so I was soloing him, but was always basically running with somebody else too. Running, there was always a crowd over in Mansfield that Arlie Thompson Senior, and we all of us sort of ran over there, and they had Chester dogs.
Yeah,
because you know, and which love Chester. He's the whole bottom side of my bloodline. So you know what I mean. So ain't got, you know, and there was another dog that was 10 minutes from my house, you know. So, but you know, I started him, and like I say, instantly I knew he was going to be something. I took him to a few little pack trials, did good, won, and then
Your phone's ringing. Just to let you know.
That's all right.
We're set up out here on the tailgates. We got dogs in the dog box, and so we're really kind of primitive, doing this primitive style right now.
That's
so
right.
Bear with us.
That's right. So there was a Pennsylvania State hunt.
Yep.
So I called. It ended up being Mike Conti, and I called him, and I said, hey, you know, what's going on with this hunt, and you know, where is it, this, that, and another, and he told me, and he said, what kind of dog are you bringing? I said, I think I'm bringing a dog that can maybe win this thing. And sure enough, he went on to win the Pennsylvania State. And he did at the end when he handed me the trophy. He said, hey, I got to tell everybody, this guy called me like 3 days ago and told me that he was going to come here and win this trial.
Really?
And he did it. And you know, after that, I was like, well.
So Rush won.
The Pennsylvania State.
Okay.
Yeah.
As in an open dog, I'm assuming.
Yeah, in the opens.
Okay.
And, you know, after he did that, I was like, well, I ought to give him a chance out at the world, you know. And this is, he was like 2.5 or something when I took him out there the very first time. And I thought he did a good job. He could have barked a little more, you know. Mm-hmm. If he just would have given a little bit more mouth, I think I'd have done a little better. And that's one thing when I bred, I looked for a little more mouth in the females that I bred to him, just to give him a little more bark. You know, a little more mouth on track.
Yep. Just claim a little bit and things like that.
Yeah, claim it and just claim it a little bit more. I mean, he's got a big old mouth, but he doesn't, I wouldn't say, give a ton of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was just one little thing. But and then from there, I didn't take him to the work. Well, in 2018, he was 6 years old, and I was really running Sonny to thinking Sonny has a chance to win the world. Well, we get out to the world, and Rush wins these first two rounds. Then he wins these semifinals. Well, all of a sudden, I'm in the finals, and he takes second in the world. Mm-hmm. So, you
who,
know.
Who won that year, just out of curiosity?
Country Lane Birdie.
Okay.
What's his name?
Is it Jeremy Woodling?
Yeah.
Jeremy Woodling. Okay.
And
so you kind of counted the old man out at that point, and he still decided to show up and give you a show that weekend, huh?
He sure did. It was he ran three rounds Saturday, and
yeah,
he showed himself. I mean, yeah. he did a nice job.
You know, I could sit here and describe Rush in my own words, but you as the owner, you know, there's something a little special about that dog, in my opinion. So if you don't mind. A lot of people ran with Rush. A lot of people have seen him, but some people who will be listening don't have any idea who Rush is. So if you want to kind of describe that dog, some of the things you liked about him, maybe some of the things you wanted to work on with him.
I mean, super hard hunting. One of the fastest things I ever seen run until I had Sonny. But, I mean, he was a dominating dog. He didn't want you to get any of it. I mean, the less dogs you had him with, the better he was, because if you put him with more, then he had to try to beat more. But you put him with three or four dogs, and he would just absolutely – he could dominate a pack mm-hmm. of dogs, you know. I mean, just – he didn't give away much, you yeah. know. And he would – I mean, even like my dogs now, they have no problem of going hunting for a couple hours without finding a rabbit. They're just – they're hard. They're determined. They got tons of desire. They're smart. They're some of the smartest dogs I've ever worked with. I mean, most of them handle like babies. I mean, I never carry a leash to the woods. I could have five dogs, and I'll never have a leash around my neck.
Yep.
My dogs walk to their, they're going to go to the kennel. They're going to go to my truck. I expect a lot out of them, but I give them a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. But Rush was just a freak. I mean, there ain't no other way around it. I mean, between it, I mean, there's just... There's so many different things that he does, but he was just different, you know? Yeah. And that's what I told everybody. He's different. He's a little bit different, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely, he was.
I agree. You know.
He was the definition of a run-to-catch dog. And in a pack, he wanted to be the dog that caught it, you know? You could just tell by the way he ran. Very dominant front-end type of dog, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't have the front, he was going to get the front. You know, and if you appreciate that kind of style of dog, you definitely appreciate Rush, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, was there things that, yeah, I wish you sometimes wouldn't have got so competitive and just settled down and run the rabbit. If you just run the rabbit, they ain't going to catch him anyways, you know what
yep.
I mean? So, but, you know, it's just him. You know, you got to give these dogs that like that some solo time. If you don't give them some solo time, they're probably going to be pretty rough and wild. And that's how I reel my dogs back in.
I've noticed you're a big fan of solo time. Fan's not really the right word. A big practicer of solo, and it's a testament to you as a houseman, because you recognize the kind of dog you have, and you recognize one of the ways to get the best out of those dogs. You know, we were out running earlier, and one of the things I noticed is you got three dogs on the ground, and they all three went different directions. To me, that shows somebody that solos their dogs a lot, and each dog knows what to do to jump a rabbit. You know, that's one of the things that you get from solo time. And when you have a hard hitting dog like you like to run, that's the best way to get the best out of those dogs. So I think that's kind of a good testament to you as a houndsman and a dog person.
I mean, every dog is different, and not every dog needs as much solo as other dogs. I've had some, very few, that didn't hardly take any. But, you know, if you want that super hard-hitting, super competitive dog, you're probably going to have to settle him down a little bit to get
yep,
him to run
absolutely.
A little more rabbit. And then when he does get the rabbit, he needs to hang on to it. And that's what the solo does
yeah,
for,
absolutely.
You know, for me, for my dogs, you
yep.
know.
No, I think you're hit the nail on the head with that one. So you got back into it, you picked up Rush, and he definitely got you back in to being competitive in the trials. I know you had another dog named Betty. If you don't mind, I'd kind of like to talk about Betty. Cause
the very first female that I bought before Betty to breed to Rush is I bought a full litter mate to Chester, but different litter.
Okay.
So I had a direct Reggie bitch or to breed to Rush first.
Mm-hmm.
The first cross was my Dreamer dog and the Beamer dog of John Hurt.
Okay.
That was out of Jackie, which was the first cross I made with Rush.
Yep.
And I raised that whole litter till they were about 10 months old.
Yeah.
And then sold off everything but Beamer and Dreamer and kept Dreamer.
Yep. So how did John end up with Beamer? Because John's had quite a bit of success with Beamer as well. So.
He knew a guy that I knew up by Greenwich, and that's how I got with him and his, they knew me through this from another guy, and he just come and got a pup, and bought Beamer.
Okay. So you had some pretty good success off that cross there.
So I did pretty good. You know, I was happy with what he threw there, you know.
Yep.
And then I bought Betty, which was a direct female out of Topfield Chester.
Mm-hmm.
So I bred Betty. I get two males and
Let me back you up. Okay. Let's talk about Betty a little bit. Because, you know, she wasn't just a brood bitch.
That dog was
a good competition.
She took third at the UKC Nationals a year. She took third at the Ohio State a year. She was a rabbit champion. I mean, she was flashy, you know.
Yeah, she was super flashy. She owned the 13-inch class in large part.
That was the 15-inch.
Was she in the 15?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another. Well, the two about that story, I took both those females to a large pack trial the day, and they were both only about a year and a half old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I won the little females with Jackie, and I won the big dogs with Betty.
yeah. See, I thought it was Betty that won the little class.
No, she won the big. She was the big dog, but.
And you won with females when males and females are combined as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, That's a pretty good testament to those two females.
I was happy with them, for sure.
So, yeah, I didn't want people thinking you just bought the first females you could get your hands on and started breeding. So.
Yeah, I mean, I made sure that they were dogs before I just bred them, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? I mean,
yep.
But then I bred Betty, got that litter of pups. I kept the biggest male. My sunny dog went to Joe Hoover, and he got Sunny. Well, we went to Michigan that next fall. They were like, he was like 10 months old. We get up to Michigan, and I got Betty up there, Jackie, Rush.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this young dog sporting around in there pretty nice, you know. And I'm like, man, I sort of like that dog, you know. And we get back to the cabin.
Kind of like the way I was with that female you were riding today.
Yeah. And we get back to the cabin. And they're all talking about trialing and this and that. And I'm like, man, I'll tell you what. I'm about good for trialing for a little while. I'm not going to trial these females hard. You want to buy this? You want Betty to Joe? And he says, yeah, what do you want for her? I said, I'll trade you Sunny for her.
Okay.
And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So I traded him. I got him. And, I mean, Betty's a hell of a dog, you know?
Yeah.
And I go home, and I take Sonny out and turn him loose, and I think, what in the world have I just done? That was the dumbest dog move I ever made, I told myself. You know what I mean? Like, I just gave up a real rabbit dog. And this guy here, he looked really good on them hair, but to start out on the cottontail, I had to solo him and stuff like that, but...
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't long. I was pretty happy with him, and I was telling some people. I said, "Hey, I got a dog here. I think he's better than Rush."
Yeah.
And everybody looked. I said, "You're crazy." And I said, "Yeah, I know I'm crazy, but I said I'm telling you, I got a rabbit dog here that I think's gonna be better than Rush." Nobody still believes me, you know. And I start taking. Now I'm done with Betty and Rush as far as trials because I'm trying to run their pups. Because to me. You can have the best dog ever, but show me something out of him. That's what I always wanted to see.
Can you reproduce it?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, when I always look for a dog, I'm looking for what that dog has produced, not what that dog has necessarily done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you look at Rush's record, it doesn't show nothing. He's a rabbit champion. That's it.
Yeah.
But you could breed him to just about
If you saw Rush on those good days, he left an impression.
Yeah, that's for sure. If you've seen him, you didn't forget him.
Yep.
Most people didn't.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, I get Sonny, and here goes the thing, you know. At first, I knew he was gonna be good, and he hits about 2.5, and I'm like, man, this dog could be a great dog. And sure enough, he was a great dog. I mean,
you think he was better than Rush then?
For sure.
Really?
I mean,
I didn't see Sonny. I saw Sonny and Rush both run together in a champion cast, and it was just those two dogs. But that was the only time I saw those two dogs run.
I mean, Sonny dealt with the pack pressure a little bit better. I mean, his record is just like that last year. He won the Ohio after the world. That year, Rush took fourth. He took sixth at the world.
Okay.
So then I rolled right into the Ohio State, and I won the Ohio State with him. Then I went to the Little World, won the Little World with him. Then I went to the North American and won the North American with him. And the North American was the first grand hunt that he ever been in, and he won the North American.
Okay.
So right then, he was in the Hall of Fame, and I planned on taking him to the world and having a real shot, and I had him get hit by a car.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that
so,
was,
you know,
that was definitely a bummer.
That was that deal, but there's no, I mean, I just, he was just a little bit big, he was a little bit bigger in Rush, he was a little stronger in Rush, and he was just a little bit faster. And I know it's hard for people to believe that seen Rush to say, oh, there you had one faster. Well,
yeah.
I ran them together, and I don't lie about my dogs. If the one was beating the one, I'd just say, hey, Rush kicks his butt. you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they're both mine.
Absolutely.
They're both mine. There's no sense of lying about it. Right. You know what I mean? But thank God I bred the dog a few times, and I have a super nice dog now out of him. And, you know, I wouldn't have the dogs I have now if I probably still had him because – he'd have been getting all the attention, and
yeah,
these ones here would have been. I wouldn't even own Doc right now, guaranteed.
Yeah, yeah.
I tried to give him away. Doc at 7 months old, I was like, I was trying to give him to people, and now I could just, you know,
glad you got him.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but they did a nice job today. It was kind of a trickier sitting. We figured out pretty quick the only dog that could really smell the rabbit was the front dog, and they all. You know, after the first circle on the first rabbit, they really figured out, you know. They were competing, but they're running to catch, you know. But they were figuring out pretty quick what they needed to do to get that rabbit circled and keep running it.
They kept it up and running for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, what else you want?
Yeah.
You know.
So, you know, go back. What was Sonny out of? He was out of Rush.
And Betty.
And Betty. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he was, you know. Rush and then Top Fuel Chester, basically.
Now, that's been a pretty good cross for you, right?
Yeah, I did it three times, so
yeah,
I thought it was pretty good. The other one was the second cross ended up being the Thor and
Chase Rubel's Thor dog
yeah. And the Rick dog of Sproles.
Yeah.
And
is he Douglas Valley Nature Boy? Is that he just made grand and he's been showing up to a lot of hunts and doing pretty good, too. So.
Yeah, like over the winter, he won four champion classes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on
and
a win.
I just judged him at Coshocta, man. That dog hunts. We were talking about that earlier. He hunts, and he can run a real nice rabbit.
Yeah, that was the second cross of him, and it turned out good. The third one, it's like anything. If you don't get the dogs in the right people's hands, it just didn't turn out as good as the other two.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, simple.
And that's a struggle a lot of us have dealt with is getting the pups into places that they're going to get the best opportunities, you know. So
I tell people all the time, you can have the best pup in the world. If the wrong guy has it, he ain't worth a hoot,
yep,
you know.
That's a fact.
So.
But no, you know, those dogs ended up in the right hands. Thor placed, what did he place at
fifth
the world?
Fifth or sixth.
Yeah, fifth or sixth at the world there in the champions class.
Yep.
Nature Boy's been cleaning up at just about everything he goes to, he's competing. So.
Right.
Yeah, and that's a testament to, you know, the dogs as reproducers and your ability to make some crosses that and get them out there. And not only have you had success with these dogs, but you put the dogs in other people's hands that have had success. You know, we talked about Arlen's summer female. She gets second at the North American a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, she won the Michigan State last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm, that's a dog I'm hoping to own one day there, Arlen, if you're listening. So she's a beautiful dog, and I ran her. He went on vacation, asked me to run her, keep her in shape for him. And
that was the first Sunny cross. That was the first one out of Sunny, yep.
Yeah, no, she was. It was really hard to give that dog back to him. So.
Yep. All
right. So, you know, what are some of your, I guess, what memories competing with these dogs stick out best in your head? What are some of the wins you're most proud of, and what did you do to kind of get prepared for those, and why they resonate with you?
I mean, my biggest win probably wasn't a win, but the second that I took it to World, of course, you know, and then when Sonny went on that, you know, winning spree of his, all those, you know, anytime you can win a big five, you're doing something, you know. I mean, if you can place a dog in the top five, it's a big five.
Yeah, because at these big fives, you're usually talking 100, a couple hundred dogs. The little pack world hunt is
700.
Yeah, there's been 500, 600, 700. That's a huge. Know. That's as big as you can get in beagles.
Yeah, so. I mean, you'll never see more people beaglers congregated in one place than the RHA World Hunt.
Yeah,
I mean, and the way they had it in Indiana, it was impressive to pull into that campground and look at literally 150 to 200 dog trailers sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, everybody's got a dog trailer. The first time I rolled up in there, I'm like, wow, I'm here. I made it.
And it is the big show. And, you know, you've had success there, and you've helped other people have success there too with sharing some of the stuff you got. So
yeah, Rush actually took 10th when he was about 4 or 5, and then he skipped 2 years, and then he went on that 2nd and 4th, you know. To get him ready, it's the same old boring story, some solo time, you know.
I think
I don't run with many people, and people say, how do you run with people if you're gonna solo?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want to listen to my dog, and then we're going to listen to your dog after my dog runs for a while.
No, every time I talk to you, I say, man, we got to get together and run dogs. And I bet that's probably happened 30 times, and I think we probably actually ran 3 times. So, yeah. But, you know, if you got a dog you really like and you believe in it, solo's not as big of a deal, you know. You feel like you're working towards an ultimate goal when you're soloing a dog you really believe in. So.
The two I have now probably make it easier than any dogs I've ever owned in my life. I mean, literally, I point them a direction.
Yeah.
Sit on my little stool that I'm sitting on right now, and that's as far as it goes, you know what I mean? They go in there, do their thing, and if they weren't good at it, they wouldn't be getting it done.
Right.
You know, they gotta keep my attention. You know, if they was out there just hee-hauling tracks around, that ain't what I want to hear, you know.
So they probably wouldn't stick around very long if that was the case. So, you know, advice do you give for guys who maybe struggle with soloing? I mean, what makes it, to me, it creates a complete dog. You know, like I said, we went out and ran, and you literally had 3 dogs that went 3 different directions. Each one of them were on their own mission to find a rabbit. How do you get to that point? How much time does it take? And
it takes a lot of, I mean, they're pack dogs, so they want to go to a pack. Honestly, some of my JJ dog, his breeding has sort of, they're known to do that.
To be somewhat independent.
To be independent, yeah. Go out by themselves, jump a rabbit, you know. But, I mean, that part of it, you can't really teach a dog to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can sort of, only thing you can do is bring a dog out there to hunt. You can't necessarily teach a dog to hunt, you know. You really can't teach them to do any of this. How do you teach a dog to run track? You can't teach them. You just got to take them.
Right. No, I, again, I'm going to be backtracking, but I had that conversation with Delbert. The dog has to have the desire to go out and search and seek game. But I told him, my theory is you can somewhat teach a dog to hunt in the sense you can teach it where to hunt. And it's... I'm going to be repeating myself again, but this is where the conversation has gone, and that's okay. I kind of compare it to teaching a dog to sit. The dog sits, it gets a treat. If it doesn't sit, it doesn't get a treat. The treat is in the brush. If you can put those dogs in places where more times than not they're going to find the rabbits in the brush piles, they learn pretty quick that's where they need to go to find one. But
I've made dog better hunters, you know what I mean? Like by what you're saying, you know what I mean? they're never that true jump dog, but definitely I've got more out of them.
Right.
You know
yeah,
what
you
I mean?
Just teach them where to focus that energy.
And
they've got to have that energy, that desire to want to go.
And what you got to have more than anything is patience. Because if you'll give that dog enough time just to get used to it, you know, like me, my dogs never see solo until they start doing something in the pack that gets my attention.
Something that you see.
And once they start getting work done in the pack, and I know they're getting work done against my old dogs, then I'll single you out and, you know, give you some solo time.
That's kind of your process for selecting dogs then, is you got to see something out of that dog in the pack. And then that makes it easier for you to make a decision. You're going to fine-tune this dog and finish it out.
Yeah, and I mean, like, Sonny was probably the oldest dog I've bought in the last 10 or 12 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I raise all my – Doc was an eight-week-old pup. Precious, she's an eight-week-old pup. JJ,
yeah.
I had the litter at the house, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I raise all my pups, and I start all my own pups. I've never – I cannot say that. I took one pup to a guy one time because he owed me some money, and it's the only pup in my life that I've ever taken to a starting pen or
really?
Anything like that.
See,
I never
used the heck out of starting pens, man.
I was so broke when I was young, I had to start all my dogs, you know what
yep,
I mean?
Yep.
So now I just, there's no trick to it now. I just absolutely take them out. They'll figure it out. I don't think people take their pups out early enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as they can follow me in the woods, I got my pup on the ground, in the woods,
really?
In
yep.
the truck. I put them in the truck a lot, in the box. I make them the box, so the box they don't care about. They don't care about my truck. They don't care about my box. I'll put them in the box to go get gas, groceries.
Okay.
When they're young, you know.
Yeah. And that probably helps with traveling and stuff.
Oh, sure it does.
Traveling and competing.
Sure yep. it does. You know, what's your dog do when you're in between rounds at the dog trial? Sits in the dog box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if yep. you get your dog that they don't mind the dog box, and you get the handling, you get the all the funny stuff, the brush, the everything, then you can teach that dog how to run a rabbit at 6, 7, 8 months old.
Yeah.
I heard you say you don't like to start them until they're 7, 8 months old. Me neither. I like them to, so they can run with the old dogs, because
yep.
if you're 4 months old, I got to separate you. You can't run with the old dogs, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
You're not going to run with these dogs.
You're not. It's just they're going to drag you to the ground, you know, so.
Yep.
It just doesn't even make sense for me to start him at 4 months old. Doesn't make
right.
any sense at all.
But
and I don't think that it makes a difference if you start him early or young. They're going to be the same if you put the time into him or whatever.
Right.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's knowing when to put the time into him. And it sounds like you've got a really good system in place. But what basically kind of the sum up, what you're acclimating those dogs. You're spending time with those dogs. You know, you're talking about how you don't take a leash when you hunt. That you're building a bond with those dogs, and they trust you. They know you're kind of the leader, and they're working to please you. And a lot of that stuff you're doing is developing that bond with them and acclimating them to some of the stressful situations that they're going to face when traveling. You're getting them used to that right off the rip, which I think is a good idea, something I've never really considered. So,
yeah. Yeah. I a couple times I had a couple dogs that just did not like to go in the box. I mean, you put them in the box and they would just froth at the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were paranoid about it. And the only way I could break them was to leave them in the box, like overnight and stuff, and make them sleep in the box.
Yeah.
And that's how I could get a pup broke. That I mean, I had a couple that were just scared to death of it. But eventually, it all
mm-hmm.
it all turned good.
It
just
all starts to click.
Just took a little time, and
yep.
and now I just don't even get to let it happen. As they're 9, 10 weeks old, they're gonna go in the box for
yeah.
as I dink around here, you know. And if they can follow me in the woods, then they're gonna come out and you know, I don't want it to even go. It don't even have to go in the brush. It can sit in my feet, and I can pet it the whole time. I don't matter.
Yep.
You know, I don't expect nothing out of it. You know, I want it to be around me, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, being able to walk out of the woods without your dogs on a leash is not an easy task to accomplish. You know, that does require building a bond with the dogs.
It all start. You know how when you run at night, how do you lead your dog out of the woods? You can't.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolute. It's a show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I run a lot at night, and I don't want to have to.
Your Mountain Dew right in the mud.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, I don't want to have to fiddle with, you know, trying to get this dog out of the woods. It's going to walk
right.
behind me and follow me, and it knows what's up. And,
yep.
you know, the collars nowadays make it I mean,
yeah, we were talking
if you can't get a dog to handle nowadays, you ain't trying very hard. You know? I mean, you know.
Yep.
But
yeah, we were talking about some of the
You still see people scream at their dogs for 20 minutes, though.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Especially in hunts, you know. You're out there trying to compete, and you're watching somebody chase their dog around for 20 minutes. I've been the guy chasing the dog, too, so I can't say too much about that. It wasn't my dog, necessarily, at the time. But, yeah, so what are, you know, we talked about the run-to-catch style dog. We both kind of agree a lot on the run-to-catch style dog. Let's kind of have you elaborate a little bit on what you look for in a dog, a competition dog. What's some of the things that you look for that leads you to, am I going to keep this dog or am I going to move it along? And then even beyond that, realizing maybe you got something that you want to compete with.
I mean, some of the main, I've changed, like Rush was such a super clean dog, Sonny, such a super clean dog. Mm-hmm. But at sometimes I felt it could have hurt him a touch, you know. So
yeah,
where JJ might pull a minus, I'll deal with it nowadays because he hunts so daggone hard.
You're talking about mouth wise, as far as clean mouth.
I like a clean mouth. Mm-hmm. I gotta have a hard hunting dog, and I gotta have a smart dog. You know, I mean, if they can have it all, if they ain't got no brains, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's over. You know, when you ask me what do I hunt, brains and foot would be my first three things. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean that if you gotta have it, that's what I want.
Okay.
You know,
yep.
And hunt and brains is right there at the top. And you know, some dogs hunt away. Like I got a dog here that covers twice the ground as the other dog, but the other dog still jumps rabbits. You know, it's just so all dogs do it different, you know.
Yep. Yeah, and that ties into the brains factor again. He knows, he's got that knack. He's learned where to look for a rabbit.
Yep.
All right. You got anything else you kind of want to talk about?
I mean, you know, food. I hear this all the time.
Oh, yeah, let's get into this discussion.
The food, food issue. I have actually, probably for the last 5 years, I started mixing my foods. I'll feed mm-hmm. different kinds. I used to feed Pro Plan and 4Health together, and then 4Health had a recall, and now I've switched it up. I feed Purina One, and then another food that I'll mix with it, and I'll mix that food up. I sort of put it like this, like, if you just ate a cheeseburger every day, the same thing, and you're training with another guy who's eating different things, different vitamins and this and that, it has to be beneficial to you, you know? I mean, and here was the deal that I kept running into, and I know everybody has run into this deal. You feed your dog a certain feed, and right off the get-go, oh my God, I've just found the miracle food. Everybody's found it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
6 months, a year later, year and a half later, you look at your dog and think, he don't look the way he looked before. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? You switch foods again. Oh my gosh, I've just found the food again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you do this over and over and over. And I will say that Pro Plan 3020, you could probably feed it all the time, and it's the best food out there as far mm-hmm. as I'm concerned. You know what I'm saying? But mixing the food has made my dogs just – I never have that down where I look at my dog and think, you don't look very good.
So you're just mixing two
brands.
Yep, two brands together.
And I try to go like a different brand. If I'm feeding Purina, I'll go to a Diamond or a different actual brand.
Yeah. And that stuff's important because, you know, kind of piggyback off what you said, an Olympic athlete isn't out there eating cheeseburgers every day. And, you know, we expect a lot out of these dogs, and they give us a lot back, but you can't expect them to eat cheeseburgers and go out and perform at the best of their ability. So it is really important to keep these dogs healthy, keep an eye on them, make sure they're getting what they need, and taking care of them the proper way, you know, good good parasite removal, you know, fleas and ticks, making, I know Lyme's disease is big around here. I've had several dogs test with Lyme's disease and things like
My
that.
My buddy's so. Probably going to lose a dog. He is going to lose her for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's terrible. My dock dog, he's got Lyme's. My sunny dog had Lyme's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I use Seresto collars, and
yeah,
I try to be very
vigilant
with them. I do them 6 months instead of 8 months, and
okay.
But I still can't say. I ain't found it. 3 weeks ago, a collar came off of my dog, and I didn't put it on that night. The next day, I go out, and there's two ticks on that dog.
Really?
1 day without a collar.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was Mitch Gold sold me on the NexGard, trying the NexGards. I've been using that since April of last year. I have not had a flea or tick on my dog.
That's good stuff.
Since I started using it.
There ain't
that.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, and, the directions say, but basically I've been buying the biggest size I can get, cutting them in fours, doing four dogs off one pill, and it works. To this point, it works. I mean, even my house dogs, I haven't seen any fleas or anything like that. I keep Wilbur in the house, and he's on the same program as the rest as far as deworming and flea and tick treatment and nothing, absolutely nothing. No fleas, no ticks, no nothing. And that stuff's important, you know, because you've had some good dogs that you've had a lot of success come down with Lyme disease. I've had three of my best males I've owned came down with Lyme disease, and you really got to pay attention to that stuff.
Back in the day, Randy Hicks had I had that alley female, and he had another male dog. My alley female would beat that dog every day. Well, I let my alley dog get all wormy, and she wasn't in good health.
Yeah.
And I watched that dog become better than my dog just because my dog wasn't feeling right. You know what I mean? And he really taught me that you gotta take care of these dogs a little bit better. You know, I was just running them and doing whatever, but their health is, I mean, if they don't feel good, they ain't going to be good. It's
yeah,
just that
and,
simple.
You know, it's almost common sense, but a lot of people do. I'm guilty of having overlooked it in the past. You're guilty of having overlooked it in the past. If you want the best out of these dogs, you have to give them the best you can possibly provide for them. And
yeah,
that's an important step to going out and competing on a higher level, I would say.
For sure. I mean, at a club hunt and stuff like that, it don't mean much because you're running around, maybe two rounds. But, you know, you get to, like, the big, like, when Rush took second, he ran 3 rounds in 1 day.
Yeah.
You know, you start running 3 rounds in a day, you better have your dog right.
Well, even beyond that, let's say you're running a dog and getting it ready for one of these big hunts. How much do you think you run? Say average on weeks, hours, miles, however you want to do it.
I'm a more hour guy than I am mileage. I
Me
mean,
too.
Everybody looks at their mileage. You know what I'm saying?
I found you can have more mileage on days that you hardly don't even run rabbits some days than you do when you run rabbits. So
right.
I'm not a big mileage guy. I like to go by hours. Too,
yeah, like today. I know we had 3 to 5 miles hunting.
Yeah. We went an hour and a half without jumping a rabbit.
Right. And dogs were all over the place. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I try to run twice a day during the winter. I'll run in the morning, and then I'll run in the evening. And then what I do is switch dogs. I'm basically running two dogs right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll put 2 or 3 hours with each dog if I can. And it just depends on how good they run, too. If I turn them loose and they run straight for an hour and a half, I might take them home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for miles. You know, necessarily. I'm looking for quality.
Yep. Time on the ground, running
with
track.
Running track.
Yep.
And being, you know, in the only dog down there running that track.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, it all depends. But my hours a week, I spend 4 hours a day. So, I'm 30 plus hours a week probably.
Yeah. You run like that year long. That's not just when
No. I don't run much after, because I run 100% public ground. As soon as the public ground closes, I pretty much shut down for the most part.
Okay.
I might take my dogs out. At my house, I'm able to let dogs out in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Cover thickens, and I can let them. They don't run rabbits very much, but I can let them out of the
kennel.
They
get some exercise.
They get some exercise.
Yep.
But really, I don't run a dog hard at all from the 1st of June until until September.
Yeah.
My dogs, for the most part, they don't run that amount of time. And I think of it like this. No pro athletes, they always have a downtime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everybody has a downtime. And I've, like, these dogs, I can leave them up a couple months. I got the same dog when I turn them loose. It's no different. You know what I mean? They're not one of them dogs that, it takes.
They're going to go crazy.
Yeah, it takes a month just to get them even to back.
Yeah.
It's the same dog when I turn them loose a couple months later, you know? I like to golf in the summer. I don't enjoy running in the summer. The bugs. You got to run at night, or you got to run at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not a late person, and I'm not an early person either. So
yeah,
you know.
No, I have like PTSD with mosquitoes. That buzzing is the most annoying sound I have in the world, and it's from spending so many miserable, hot, humid nights sitting on the tailgate. Getting eaten alive by those suckers trying to run dogs. So yeah, I get it, man. Now if I run during the summer, it's got to be in a spot where the wind can hit you to keep the mosquitoes off, or it is nowhere, there isn't a drop of water within 2 miles of that place,
and you can hide in your truck, right?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So that's my summer running. And then usually in the fall, I don't like in the fall time, I don't much care to trial. It's really hard to judge, really hard to see things. Mm-hmm. I don't really think that you're probably getting the best dog a lot of the times in that kind of cover, you know. So I don't do much trial. And in the fall, I usually try to get my dogs ready to go up to Michigan and go hare hunting.
Yeah,
so all fall,
that's a big thing for you every year is to go up and go hare hunting.
I have to. I'm already booked for this year, you know. So, I mean, if you told me I had to give up the world hunt, or give up Drummond Island, I would give up the world hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that says a lot, too. You know, a lot of people ask that question. If there was never another field trial, would you still run dogs?
So every day.
That answers that question for you, doesn't it?
Yeah, every day. Yep. Like, you know, if I had to field trial or just run dogs, what me and you did, that's what I like to do.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
The trials are just there to...
I like competing so I can see what I have. You know, get out and... Is what I'm doing, is that competitive? Is that up there with what other people are doing? So
that's exactly why I take them. And I'm telling you, it would not matter if I lost every trial. I would still run the same dogs, period.
I mean, I'm glad you brought that back up. That was something you said to me when out running.
I mean, there's no way that I would sell these dogs just because they didn't win in a trial.
So your dogs, you got the style of dog that pleases you.
You
wouldn't change.
People
that
always
just for
ask
trial.
Me, what are you looking for, and this, that, and another, and I can say with 100%, I'm not looking for nothing. Yeah. If you show it to me, I'm there to see it and look. I will look at it for sure.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. If you really show me it, I'm gonna look at it. You know what I'm saying. But I'm not looking. I'm not out looking for nothing.
Yeah, you're happy with what you got.
Yeah,
and if somebody shows you something that, because you know. I can relate to that with this Wilbur dog. You know, I always thought my dogs had plenty of nose. I thought they had plenty of foot. And then I watched this dog around, like, man, I need a little bit of that, you know. So, yeah, once you see something, then you realize, all right, maybe this is something that can help me out.
Yeah, you got to see it and then be able to be smart enough to take advantage of it if you see it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Chester really didn't make a lot of sense for me to breed to Chester when he's 10 miles away from me, you know what I mean? It truly didn't make a lot. But why did I breed to him? Because he was the best dog.
He showed you something.
That's right. Yep. You know, I had a dog named Scout, and everybody would in the area thought that my Scout dog was the best dog. And as Chester was coming up, they kept having me come over there and run Scout with Chester. This is how this all went. So I went over and run with Chester. I got him that time. 6 months later, I went and ran with him again. And he kicked my butt.
Yeah.
And I said, ooh. And he was a year and a half old, and I'm running a 4-year-old. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I was like, whoa, John. I said, man, that's a nice dog, dude. You know what I mean? And all you got to do is show me. I got my eyes open for sure.
And that's a key, I think, to success, is having open eyes, being able to see it, recognize it when you see it. Not making up excuses for your dog, you know. That dog, if that dog went out and kicked your butt, get a piece of that. Use it. You know, use it to help you out. Don't make up excuses for why your dogs didn't do good that day.
That's what, like we said, everybody finds the fault in your dog. You know what I mean? They don't want to give you credit for any of the good. They always want to talk about the bad in these dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
I'm accomplishment over style guy.
Yep.
Get it done. I mean, it can't be that ugly, but you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to have the thing. You don't have to have the track between your front legs for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you just got to be able to hold on to the track, and keep it going.
There you go.
Yep. Man, I'm getting a chill, man. I'm standing here shaking.
Shiver. You got the shivering all the way down.
Well, you know, and like you said with Chester, and how you saw something. Like, all right, that's something I can use. I was kind of the same way with Rush. I can't tell you how many casts I've went out to watch Rush run just to get a better look at him. You got it. Some people can, some people can't. You know, some people.
I'm about to tell you, the hang-up I had with Chester was his mouth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He sounded like an absolute female. I mean,
yeah.
a sharp chop, high pitch. When you turn him loose in a pack of male dogs, you recognize that dog every single time because of his high pitch bark.
Yep.
And it took me a while to get over. I'm still a big guy on a mouth. I love a good mouth on a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, 90% of what we do out here with these dogs are listening to it. And if it don't sound good,
yeah,
I don't want to listen to it, you know?
Yep.
I mean, you know, but once I got over a little bit of that mouth deal and just watched him, but I knew I needed some of that mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I told you, I thought Rush needed some of that
mouth.
Something
they'll claim a little quicker.
So
that was the avenue you went to get that.
That's the avenue I went.
And I'd say it worked out pretty good for you. So.
It did me all right.
All right, Chad, we're going to wrap this up. I just want to thank you again for getting with me and,
hey, no problem.
And doing this. And hopefully we'll get a chance to do this some more in the future.
All you got to do is ask.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Appreciate it.